This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Spoiler alert! What Did You Watch This Week is a candid discussion about recent movies and TV shows, and it may contain spoilers if you haven't watched them yet. Listen at your own risk.
John is recording the call. Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode number 298. Good Lord, that's a big number. What did you watch this week? My name is Mike.
My name is John. That's a huge bitch.
What's up?
Old stuff and things and stuff.
I am, without a shadow of a doubt, 100% positive that I did not watch any movies this week. It's not going to come back to haunt me later. There was zero movie watching.
Interesting. I watched three, so.
Oh, there you go. No, I mean, we watched like a season and a half of Cabin Masters.
Oh.
Yeah, when we got snowed in, that was apparently our show of choice. Simple, mindless fun. We all liked it. And here's my biggest issue, and I think I've said this before in the past, and I know I've said this with my wife, we've discussed this. The majority of the shows that we want to watch
can't be watched in front of your seven-year-old.
Cannot be watched in front of my six-year-old, yeah. Yeah, yes, he'll be seven in a month, in March, but still, can't watch them in front of him. And I get tired early, and my wife gets tired early, so I mean, like, the thought of sending him to bed and us watching a show is just like foreign. So
I remember going out to dinner a few times with the Petries way back years ago when their kid was, you know, younger, 4, 5, 6 years old. And, you know, I'd be like, hey, are you watching this? No. Are you watching this? No. What are you watching? Mickey Mouse Clubhouse. You know, it was the same thing. They're like, well, we can't watch stuff while he's in the room. By the time he goes to bed, we're exhausted and just want to go to bed. So, yeah, seems to be a common issue, my friend.
Like, I watched the first episode of 1883. Holy cow, did I love that.
Yeah.
Absolutely loved it. Fantastic. Loved it. Kate loves it. We want to watch it together. And, we can't because it's like TVMA.
Is it like cowboys and stuff?
Okay, 1883. It takes place in 1883. It's on Paramount Plus
exclusive. Off to a good start.
Yep. Okay. It is the prequel to
1884.
No, to Yellowstone. It's the prequel to Yellowstone.
Oh, Jesus. But I've never seen Yellowstone, but I've heard people gushing over it so much that it makes me not want to watch it.
My wife loves it, but this is the it tells a story because in the movie, in the TV show Yellowstone, it's the Dutton family. And they own this Yellowstone ranch and, you know, yada, yada, yada.
It's not the park?
No, it's nothing to do with the national park.
What?
Yeah, no, it's absolutely nothing to do with the national park.
I legitimately thought that that's what it was. I thought that it was like rangers who like got rid of poachers in Yellowstone Park or something.
No, it's about Kevin Costner's character, whose name is John Dutton. He is a sixth-generation patriarch of the Dutton family who operates the Yellowstone Dutton Ranch, the largest continuous ranch in the United States. And every season, there's a new bad guy that wants to steal his land.
That sounds formulaic.
Yeah. So the story develops around the story follows the Dutton family, owners of the largest ranch in Montana, the Yellowstone Dutton Ranch, commonly called the Yellowstone. The plot revolves around family drama at the ranch and the bordering Broken Rock Indian Reservation, a national park, and developers.
Hmm.
Yeah. So anyhow, this story, 1883, is about how his family came to find the ranch. And it's Tim McGraw plays James Dutton, the great grandfather of John Dutton. And his wife is played by his wife, Faith Hill. So that's kind of neat. And but the star of the show is not I mean, Tim McGraw's character is definitely a major character on the show. But the star of the show, if you will, is Sam Elliott, who's a badass even in this at 77 or however old Sam Elliott is.
Of course he is.
Yeah, I mean, he's just, yeah, he's 77. He's just got that look, you know. And anyways, apparently he works at the Pinkerton Agency and he leads expeditions for them where people pay them to get them from like Texas to Washington State, if you will, wagon okay. training. But it's yeah, it is good.
It is enjoyable.
Yeah, the first episode was very good as far as them establishing the characters who's on the show and what their roles are and what they're going to be doing and everything. And they do that thing where they hot shot the opening. And makes you go, I wonder how they get to this part where that girl takes an arrow in the gut.
Oh.
Yeah. The narrator is Elsa Dutton, who is the daughter of Tim McGraw and Faith Hill characters. And she's supposed to be 17, but she's clearly not 17. The actress
is their daughter in real life.
No, the actress that plays her is 21. But she even looks older than that, quite frankly, but she has a, she's the narrator of the show as well.
Okay.
So, but yeah, no, it's, I really enjoyed the first episode so far and I'd like to watch more if possible.
Thanks.
Yeah.
If time, well, if you can get rid of the kid.
Yeah. Yeah. Even the shows I watch, like normal, like Peacemakers, Archive 81, you know, those are all TVMA. Mm-hmm. Other new shows on Netflix I want to check out, TVMA. That After Party on Apple Plus, right? You said you were going to check that out?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that looks great. I love the concept, TVMA.
Well, speaking of, it's launched. There's three episodes live. New episodes come out on Fridays. This show is awesome. I will not give spoilers, of course, but basic rundown is that the first episode is like 56 minutes long because reasons. The next two are each 34 minutes. But the premise is that a bunch of people went to their 15th high school reunion. Right in the first like 2 minutes of the first episode, you get to see Dave Franco's character Xavier falls to his death. He's dead. And the detective investigating it says that it's a murder and she's taking statements from people. And as each of them tells the story of the night, you get to see it from their point of view. As she says it, I want to hear your mind movie. And so each one of them has their own way of telling it. You know, one of them, it's like a rom-com. One of them, it's like Fast and Furious. One of them, it's a musical. One of them's an art house feature. And so they tell their own version and how they feel that it went. So it's really cool watching it from their perspective because like you're watching it and you're like, okay, this is how things went. And then you see it from somebody else's perspective and you see the same things. And it's not like not all of the parts are comically over the top. So it's not like, you know, oh, when you get to this guy, then it's suddenly like everything that everybody else said is stupid. But you see that, you know, from their perspective, they were saying things differently and they had different motivations behind things. They really did a good job because there's plenty of humor. There's plenty of like really good, really smart humor. The actors in it are phenomenal. But the actual show itself is written very well. I was compelled and I was pissed that there wasn't a fourth episode on there, but you know, we just devoured the first three and we can't wait. Friday's going to be the episode that Ilana Glazer tells her story. So really looking forward to that.
Nice. Yeah, I know that the concept of eight episodes. Yeah,
I think so. Yeah.
Telling the same story in each episode from a different point of view. I mean, that's a really cool concept, and it's definitely something that I want to check out. Hopefully, maybe someday. Oh, Afterlife season 3. We want to watch that TVMA.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Upload season 2 is coming out soon.
Probably TVMA.
Now you keep saying TVMA. Like, is there a cutoff for your kid? Like, would you watch something that was on NBC, like say Blacklist or something?
The main reason why for the TVMA is there's nudity, the F-bomb, and or lots of innuendo or whatever. That's what I have found. That's gotcha. All allowed in the TVMA. TV-14 may be risque or graphic, or there's like some swearing, but there's no nudity, there's no graphic sex, and there's no F-bombs constantly. Gotcha. Which I watched Man in the Arena, which was not TVMA, and Tom Brady said the F word multiple times, but in a context that it's not threatening, harassing, violent.
Gotcha.
You know, like just.
Yeah, so it sounds to me like what you need is you need like an after school program or something that like a friend that Wesley can go sleep over at their house and be out from underfoot so that you can get some quality watching in.
So sometimes on Saturday, like for instance, we're recording right now on Monday night. They'll go to bed here in a little bit. So
the
I can
eve
go
of February.
Yeah, I could go watch something before I went to bed, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I have a lot of stuff I'd like to watch with my wife, so we have something to watch together, but I don't want to wait because I just want to watch it.
Mm-hmm.
And like, you know, when you're really in, like, for instance, like I'm really pumped to watch another episode of 1883. And like, sometimes I just get, that's the mindset of what I want to watch. So watching like Archive 81 or something she wouldn't care about, I'm not in the mood for it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's almost like I'm not giving it my full attention. I'm just like, oh, whatever. Because that's just the way it is. And, you know, I've never experienced, seasonal depression before. That's the way I'm going to word it until this year. And I've never really been like, man, it really sucks. It's dark all the time until this year. I don't know why. Previous years, especially when I worked a midnight shift and I literally never saw daylight. It's almost like, well, it's midnight shift, whatever. But yeah, it's really hitting me hard this year.
It could be because, not to get off on a tangent here, but, you know, if you think about it, in years past, you offset that with things like day trips, camping trips, you know, getaways to go places. There's a lot less opportunities to do that now, not just from weather, but from COVID. You know, there's fewer opportunities for you to get out and stave that off. So you're basically either in your cave at work or you're in your cave at home. And, you know, that can lead to those kind of feelings. Also, body chemistry changes. I mean, you're what, about 42 now?
I am 42, yep.
Yeah, they say what, like every 7 years your body undergoes changes. Your DNA, your skin cells are all new, your hair's all new, like everything's been replaced every 7 years, kind of like you know, the doctor regenerating. So technically speaking, you're in your 6th 7-year cycle. So you know, that's how some people suddenly develop a lactose intolerance or a gluten allergy this late in life. Or seasonal allergies, you know, you go your entire life without allergies and then all of a sudden you wake up one day and you're like, what the fuck happened to me? So.
Fair enough there.
So yeah. It could be that too. It could be, you know, here, this is your next 7-year journey is going to include this.
We'll see what happens, I guess. We'll see what happens. Speaking of Archive 81, have you watched any of this?
I have not. Honestly, like, and you know this from the text, like, you sent me that list on, I think it was Friday, and you were like, here's all the stuff that I watched. And I'm like, I've watched nothing.
Yeah.
So, you know, I knew that coming up for the weekend, we're going to have a storm. But, you know, like you, there's a lot of stuff that I want to watch with Julia. So there was like two columns. There's like, here's the stuff that we watch together, and here's the stuff that I watch by myself. Like, she isn't going to follow The Mandalorian or Cobra Kai or anything like that. So, you know, I fit those in around, you know, it's like, okay, I'm going to go do my thing. You go do your thing. And I'd throw on an episode while I was doing my stuff. And so, Friday, I was way behind the gun. So I didn't get a chance to pick up anything new except for, you know, Sunday morning, we're sitting there just trying to find something to do. And before, you know, finishing the shoveling, and it was like, oh, I'll throw on The After Party. You know, that's probably funny. And then we just devoured it. So that was a long way to say no.
Well, I've watched the first two episodes. It's slow, but I enjoy it. It's psychological drama thriller. The ending of the second episode was really fucking weird.
Okay.
Yeah, but it's interesting. It's interesting. I do like it. I am going to keep watching it.
Okay.
I know a couple people friggin' absolutely loved it, especially as it progressed. So I'm curious to see where it's going to go. Yeah, I really don't want to give anything away, so I'm just going to say I enjoy it.
It is on my list. I will be checking it out soon. I do keep seeing it pop up over and over again.
We got all kinds of new stuff this week or last week that came out, you know, and I really didn't get a chance to watch anything of the new, any of that stuff. I there's some stuff I'd like to check out. That Kirsten Bell show.
Like, yeah.
TVMA.
The woman across the street from the girl in the window or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. Did you end up watching any of that?
Nope, same thing. Yeah. You know, it was like, oh, are we going to do new stuff or old stuff? So.
Yeah, I hear you there. You mentioned Cobra Kai. What did you think of episode 5?
So, I will say that I still love the show. However.
Same.
It's getting a little predictable. It's getting a little repetitive. You know, the big thing was we ended last episode on the cliffhanger of Silver and Kreese showing up in the backyard. And the whole exchange took like 5 seconds. And basically Silver's like, Daniel, how's it going? And he's like, fuck off. And he's like, okay, see ya. And then all of a sudden Silver's like, you know, he's such an arrogant prick. I'm going to take him down. We're going to destroy him. Dude. Like, you went there, you tried to be nice. He was a prick, yes, but don't let that be like, well, now I don't have to be a nice guy anymore. Like, you destroyed this kid. You tortured him. You tormented him. Now it's 50 years later, and you're like, I want to be nice. No, not going to happen.
This episode also had the inevitable, this is not going to work out, the two dojos together.
Mm-hmm. Which it's been building towards. We got a nice little Rocky montage for Johnny, though. That was fucking great.
That was really good, yeah.
What I really liked, too, was how, like, as he's training, he's thinking back to all the times that Daniel fucked him over. And then when Daniel's training, he's thinking of the exact same times, but it was the moments before or after when Johnny fucked him over. So they each remembered the exact same scene from the first movie differently.
Yep, they did.
And I really liked that.
Which they also talked about in season one of this show. That, you know what I mean? We got the different perspectives.
I'm still wondering to this day, based on that, if this would have gotten off the ground if it hadn't been for that brilliant writing in the final season of How I Met Your Mother.
I don't think so.
Barney going nuts for William Zabka and saying that he was the true Karate Kid and that Daniel was a bully. And I mean, it was all based on that guy's theory online who patched together the videos and said that Daniel was a bully. But the fact that they took it and ran with it on national TV, I think gave legs to Cobra Kai.
Well, that gave the most exposure to the theory. That had everyone going, oh yeah, they got a point.
Yeah.
So, you know, Daniel and Johnny, they have their fight and they get a tie. So, you know, they got to split up permanently, the dojos.
I liked when they were telling the story. He's like, so who's Silver? And he tells Johnny about it. And the one thing Johnny takes out of it is, so wait a minute. You came back hadn't fought at all, and they just let you advance right to the final round? That's bullshit. And I'm thinking, yeah, that is bullshit.
Again, perspective. That is awesome. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. Cobra Kai wants to get back at Miyagi-Do and Eagle Claw, or Eagle Fang, for the drive-in mm-hmm. incident. And, well, you know, Hawk isn't much of a hawk anymore.
No. No, that was, like, I expected more. They're like, we're not supposed to fight. Well, they fought him.
Yeah.
They fought him to a standstill and then pinned him down. And I thought that they were going to, like, give him another tattoo or carve up his skin. They just cut his hair really badly.
Yeah, but, you know, that was Mohawk's thing. You know, he was the hawk. The actor's probably like, thank God.
Right.
Yeah, I like the show a lot still, but I am losing momentum with it.
Yeah. And maybe it's because it's meant to be binged. Maybe we're supposed to be watching them all back to back, but
maybe
I feel like each episode is more predictable. Like as you're watching it, you're like, well, I'll bet you I know what's going to happen next episode or this whole season.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let's see.
By the end of the season, they're going to work together again. You know that.
Probably by in the next two episodes.
Mm-hmm.
Most likely in the next two episodes.
I did like, too, by the way, not to keep going on this, but the fact that Silver confronted Kreese and he's like, dude, you stole the man's son. You didn't tell me that part of it. He's like, that's John Lawrence's son. You didn't just, like, take his dojo. You took his kid, and that's uncool.
No, that was very much not cool.
Anywho. You were about to say, this is us?
This is us. Don't let me keep you. So this episode can really be summarized pretty quickly. It was a Jack story, a Jack episode.
Yes. We see Jack all.
We see Jack as a kid, and we see Jack as an adult going to his mom's funeral. And then we get some flashback moments in between of Jack and his mom. And basically, this is when Jack gets his mom out of the house there in Pittsburgh. Gets her to Ohio to her cousin, what's the cousin's name?
Carolyn's
mom. Doesn't matter. Gets into a cousin's house. And, you know, other than talking every Sunday, they don't really see each other. And it has a lot to do with because when his mother did come in to visit him that one time, she was so paranoid that her husband, Jack's father, was going to know that she was there.
Mm-hmm.
Debbie, and that's the cousin's name, and I can completely understand that because like that's what happens. Like that is domestic abuse at its finest, where she can be happy in Ohio and live her life, doesn't want to be bothered to anyone, but you know at the same time is petrified to be back in the city of Pittsburgh in case her ex-husband sees her.
Right.
Or finds out where she is.
Or I was going to say somebody who her ex-husband knows sees her and says, hey. Right.
And Jack just didn't understand that. He's just like, mom, it's a big city. It'll be fine. Well, you weren't. Spousal abuse is much different than, you know, father-son issues, you know?
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, I know Jack finds out when he goes to his mom's funeral that there's so much he didn't know about her mom that she laughed and smiled and he never saw that. She had a boyfriend named Mike. She loved music. She had a cat named Cat Benatar. You know, in the end, Marilyn was happy when she passed and she was happy where she was and where she lived and how she lived up the remaining years of her life. And, Jack felt like he was left out and missed it.
And his reasoning was that, he didn't go there because, you know, like you said, he thought that she should be coming to see him.
Yeah.
He had triplets. He's like, they're a handful. They're toddlers. They're babies. They're, you know, I can't just pick up and go there.
Yeah.
But, he's got work, you know, she'd always say, oh, you should come. There's a skating pond right across from the house. The kids could go skating.
Rebecca shows up at the funeral, and Jack talks about how, like, Rebecca and his kids gave him a new family and Debbie, Mike, and everyone here gave his mom a new family, and he's thankful for that. And it was good. I mean, I'm not gonna, you should really go watch the episode if you like the show and you haven't seen it yet, because realistically, I texted you, that kind of wrecked me, because it really did. Like, I got quite emotional watching this.
And I won't say it out loud, but especially the last part, the last thing that he said to Rebecca.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was pretty rough.
It's like, whoa.
Yeah. So it's pretty crazy. But yeah, it was a whole, it was a Jack episode. It was a very well done episode.
It was. Yeah. I remember in the first season, in the first episode, when we found out what happened or that he wasn't around and we started piecing it together, we're like, well, I love this guy. How are they going to keep him on the show? They've managed to very well, actually.
They have done a very good job keeping him on the show. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yep.
Let's see here. A couple shows weren't on this week. Like, I don't think Roseanne Connors was on, and I didn't bother trying to find if Abbott Elementary was. We did watch the final episode of Ghosts.
Oh, good.
That was hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
We loved it. The vault. Oh, no. There's an episode coming up called Ghost Rider, which is on February 24th.
Oh, interesting.
So maybe it wasn't the last episode.
Hun, there's another episode of Ghost coming on February 24th.
Nice. Yeah, it got renewed for a second season, which is awesome.
Yes.
Oh, no, it was given a full season order. So
oh, cool.
Maybe we'll get like 20. In this episode, we meet. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead, because okay. Mine was towards the end.
So one of the workers finds finds a passageway and leads to a vault, and the vault's locked up. And so they told one of the ghosts, just walk in and see what it looks like. See who's in there. And Pete says he's going to do it and just crashes into the door.
Mm-hmm.
And so I liked how they're trying to figure out the lock, and Hetty's like, oh, try this. It's my birthday. Nope. Oh, try this. It's like the maid's birthday or something like that. And it worked. And they open the vault.
Now, my first thought, just to interrupt for a second, was they were like, why would they make a vault that ghosts can't get into? And my first thought was, what were they trying to keep in there?
Well, and that's the thing is, I don't think they were trying to keep anything in there, because so Hetty's husband was a robber baron. That's what he did. And his ghost came out of the vault. And basically, when Hetty was like, you've been in there this whole time? He's like, yeah. He couldn't walk through the vault because whatever it was made of. So they discovered something the ghost can't walk through. And, well, how did you end up in there? And he's like, well, the guy that made the vault, I mean, like, there was this little thing about me owing him some money and I wasn't going to pay him. And then, like, maybe I slept with his wife a bunch of times and yada, yada. So he locked me in there.
Yeah. Right? And he didn't care. He was just like, you know, that was his problem. That was his fault.
And so he hates Sam and Jay. Jay's still the best character on the show.
Mm-hmm. I love the initial interaction when the guy's like, I found something. And he's like, oh, is it a secret passage? He goes, it's never a secret passage. Except this time. And Jay's like, oh, you did that so good.
So he basically discovers that when he walks through people or even animals, it makes them horny. And of course, like earlier in the season or earlier in the year, whatever it was, we had those episodes with about them doing the B&B and their friend's wedding they didn't get invited to, but the they get a talker into doing their ceremony there, so they show up to check the house out to see if that's where they want to have their wedding. And of course, with the ghost walking through them, it makes them horny, and they accidentally and unintentionally tried to get a threesome with the groom. He's not having it, so they decide to leave. So now they're going to be screwed, and Sam's telling the ghost about how, like, the money they have, oh, if they don't get money to pay these bills, then they're going to lose the house, they're going to lose the B&B. And the ghosts are sad because they don't want to lose Sam, like that's their connection to anything, you know, TV especially. Or smelling foods. And the robber baron's like, oh, I don't care. Ha, ha, ha. And he makes a comment about his watch. And he takes it out and he's like, you think for $5,000 this thing would still work in the afterlife? And so they determine that, ooh, if he has the watch on him, one of the ghosts does, in death, and he's on his body, and his corpse was still in the vault. So they ran downstairs, and I like how Jay was trying to find it, and Hetty's like, I know which pocket he keeps it in, but I find this too funny. And, you know, they get the watch, and it's going to save them for a few months or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. But the thing is Hetty's husband doesn't like who she's turned into because she has an opinion. And she stands up for herself. Mm-hmm. And so he basically tells him, no, Sam's taught me so much, da 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 da, and you can just go to hell. And which the floor turns up red, and he gets sucked to hell.
Mm-hmm.
Which was hilarious, because Kate had just said right before that happened, like, they got to get this guy off the show somehow.
Yeah.
And they did. And so now what I like is the ghosts don't know if Hetty's power, because she hasn't figured out what her power is that she can send people to hell. And I liked it where they say he got sucked down. Oh, he went down or something.
He went
like
down
that.
On her. He went down on us.
He went down on us. It's like, oh, you may not want to use that term. sucked off and went down on us. But the other ghosts don't know if Hetty has the power to send people to hell or not. She kind of teases them with it, which I think is funny. Mm-hmm. I also liked when what was it? The guy with no pants, the ghost with no pants.
Trevor.
When Hetty makes the comment of, like, you know, he was having sex with the maid or something like that, and she wasn't even that attractive. And, like, Trevor's asking the Thor and the Indian guy if she was attractive or not, and they're both like, oh, yeah, she was. So
mm-hmm.
I just like the throwback to think that, oh, when Hetty was alive, they were there watching her.
Yeah. So,
I find that funny. But that's, I thought it was a great episode. I like the show.
Yeah. I enjoy it quite as well.
What else did we watch here?
Let's see. We got The Rookie.
Yep. We got Peacemaker.
Book of Boba Fett.
And did you watch Resident Alien?
Of course I watched Resident Alien.
Well, you never know. You never, never know. Which one do you want to talk about next?
The Rookie.
All right, go for it.
It's another episode of The Rookie. Hold on. I got to bring up my notes on this one.
It certainly was.
My computer's being slow. Yeah. Let's see. This one was
Nolan is the got elected to the union rep.
Oh yeah,
ugh. That was a big catalyst in this episode.
And, yeah, it was that one, and the hand that washed up that, you know, of course, conveniently is tied into the other case that they're following up on. Yeah. So there was a lot of very uncomfortable moments in this. So the Nolan story, Nolan is elected union rep. Nyla Harper is pregnant, so she's being nice. And she says that, you know, she's like the sweetest person in the world because of the pregnancy hormones, and she'll go back to being bitter afterwards. So she's all nice to Nolan and everything. And then everybody starts coming to him with all their problems, which of course you expect, but some of them are just ridiculous. And he wants to try to make some change. So he talks to the president of the union. The guy's like, nah, just enjoy your free drinks and dinners and blah, blah, blah. So then he talks to a councilwoman. She's like, yeah, I'll talk to you. And he's like, I want to make all these changes. She's like, thank God somebody does. I've wanted this for a long time. And, you know, by the end of the episode, the president says he's going to destroy Nolan. You know, you went over my head. You are doing things I told you not to do. I don't want change. I want things to stay the way that they are. We look out for the officers first, not the public. We don't care about the public. We care about the officers. That's who you should be protecting. And basically, you know, makes it seem as though he's going to make Nolan's life a living hell, which will probably, knowing this show, last like one episode.
At most, yeah.
Yeah. Like I said, hand washes up on the beach. Bradford's new girlfriend, the lifeguard on duty, calls it in. So they're trying to figure out who's lost a hand. Like I said, by the end, you'll know that it ties into the other story of, you know, pharmaceutical or technology theft or whatever. But Bradford ends up going out on a double date with his new girlfriend, and Chen goes with that DA that she met two episodes ago that we called.
I brought this up to Kate when I was watching it. I've never been on a double date with someone where I sit across the table from my date and I sit next to the other person's date.
It depends on the level of date. Like if it is a first date, then maybe you do sit across the table from them because you're trying to be able to engage in small talk, look them in the eye, stuff like that. If it's like a double date where you're both established couples, no, you sit on the same side of the table as each other so that you can hold hands or play around at the table, you know, get a handy job, stuff like that. But if it's like first or second date, which it was with Chen and this guy, then I can understand wanting to sit across from each other because that way you can really engage in the conversation.
Well, they got this date because the Bradford's lifeguard girlfriend, like, either won a raffle or someone she knows won a raffle and they gave it to her, and it was like a fancy pop-up restaurant that serves like ultra fancy, fancy dishes that's definitely not at Bradford's alley. And he makes it known multiple times throughout the episode, why would anyone eat this stuff? You guys don't actually like this, do you? Instead of trying something new, he just acts, you know, rude.
Yeah. Yeah, he Bradforded it up a lot.
But here's what I find hilarious.
Okay.
What Bradford's girlfriend didn't like was how he acted during the episode, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
With just kind of being rude and not being open to new things. Not the fact that him and Chen basically acted like they were dating.
Yeah.
That was my big takeaway. Like
that was Bradford, my big takeaway as well.
Bradford gets some sort of dish and it's got mushrooms in it. And she's like, oh. And she just reaches over and takes it from him. And he just doesn't even like say anything or whatever. And Bradford's girlfriend's like, what's going on? And he goes, oh yeah, I don't like mushrooms. Oh no, he doesn't. But he doesn't know what he's missing out on. Like, it's hilarious. Like, they were acting more like a couple than they ever had. Mm-hmm. And it's because they do know each other because they're partners at work and everything. And I get that.
He's her supervisor. She's his
coordinator. Oh, that's right. He made the point of saying that. Yeah. But the point is, that wasn't the issue. Like, that was the one they kept throwing in our face of how well they knew each other and how the stories they had to share about everything and on and on and on. And yet, the big takeaway is you weren't open to try something new. Not you basically are dating your partner.
Mm. Yeah, I was expecting them to go that route as well. And it would have been a legitimate beef, you know, to be like, obviously you've got some unresolved feelings for Lucy. Yeah. So.
And even the DA guy wasn't all like, oh, yeah, you obviously have some issues with her dating. Instead, he was just like, nah, it was a little awkward because it was a little awkward between them. And he's just like, let's try it again with just the two of us. And she's like, all right, what do you want to do? And he's like, let's go to Pink's. And she's like, yeah. So, like, again, like, he wasn't even like, boy, you're basically dating your partner. No, he was like, oh, the tension between Bradford and his girlfriend was a little awkward for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they definitely missed the boat on that one. And then the big story was the Italian cop that was there looking for a suspect. And you knew he was crooked from the get-go. And he partnered up with Gray, and very quickly we find out he's crooked, and he gets arrested at the end.
Yeah.
That was a throwaway story.
Was there anything surprising in there?
No. That was such a complete throwaway story that monopolized the episode as well.
Mm-hmm.
Still like the show. All right. Book of Boba Fett. So this was the best episode of the season so far.
And you know why?
Because it was essentially an episode of The Mandalorian.
Exactly.
Like,
I had that realization. I'm watching it up because everyone kept saying, oh my God, you're going to watch this. Oh my God, it's so good. Oh, it's so great.
It's so good. It's so good. It's so good. It's so awesome. It's so great. Oh my God. Oh my God. Yeah, exactly. Like, I think it was like, I think I even messaged you like, I'm 4 minutes and 40 seconds in. This is fucking amazing.
Yep.
And it was because it opened with Mando and he's collecting a bounty, and he ends up busting out the Darksaber, and he's hacking people up. It was fucking awesome. I loved it. Absolutely loved it. And I thought that would be the opener, and then we'd get to Boba Fett, and then it was obviously Mando's going to come help Boba Fett. No, the whole episode is about Mando, and meeting up with his, with, you know, from how that the episode ended, where like their conclave or whatever got discovered, and they had to flee, and he meets up with like the only two that survived, and, you know, the Forger and everything else, and you know, she makes a chainmail armor gimmick out of the spear for Grogu that he's got to go catch up to him, and then the other Mandalorian that's around challenges him for the Darksaber and loses, and you know, it's just, it's crazy. But
then he gets exiled.
Oh, and then he gets exiled because they asked if he took his helmet off, and he said yes.
Seems like an odd time to ask that question. Like, he's got a knife to the guy's throat. She just called it, said, yeah, you won. By the way, have you ever taken your helmet off? Yeah. Oh, then you're banished. Get out.
Right. So, and he's like, this is the way. This is the way. And then he goes to...
But now he has to go to the waters of the living waters under the mines on Mandalore, which have been destroyed.
Right. To cleanse.
So now we know what's happening in season 3.
Exactly. But then he goes to, not Tatooine, what's the other one? The other planet.
Mandalore?
No, the one he goes to get the ship.
That's Tatooine.
Oh, is it?
It's just a different part. It's Mos Espa versus Mos Eisley.
Okay, Mos Espa. Thank you. That's what I meant. Yeah, he goes to Mos Espa, and he gets a new ship. What did you think of that? Like, that's a whole, like, 20-minute ordeal of them putting that ship together.
I mean, on the one hand, it was great, because it wasn't just like, okay, yep, we're going to fix it. Hey, we fixed it. You know, you really felt part of the journey with this thing. On the other hand, fucking A, that's 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Of just watching them reassemble this ship.
And then Mando has a run in with the cops, basically.
Yep.
Which I thought was great.
Yep. And they were like, do we report this? Do you want to go back and fill out reports all day? No. Okay.
Yeah. All right, then let's move on.
Yeah.
But no, this, and then finally at the end, you know, Fennec Shand shows up and it's just like, Boba Fett needs a favor and she'll pay you and he'll pay you. And he's like, he doesn't need to pay me. But I got to stop to make first. Like, it was a good episode.
I really enjoyed it.
It was a fantastic episode. I was just genuinely shocked of how much Mandalorian it was and how little Boba Fett it was.
See, and that I think is going to be part of the problem. Not that it's really a problem, so to speak. excuse me. But this episode kind of proved what they want, you know, what people want. People want more Mandalorian. Like, if you look at the IMDb ratings, chapter 1, 7.5, chapter 2, 8.3, chapter 3, 6.4, chapter 4, 7.7, chapter 5, 9.4. So all they're proving right now is that people don't want a Boba Fett show. They like him, but they don't want a show. They want more Mando.
Well, Boba Fett has created such a huge lore over the years because his character was so short-lived in the movies. And there's been just this ultimate thirst for wanting more of Boba Fett. But when they deliver him to us, he's kind of a dud.
People wanted him to be the Mandalorian. They wanted him to be the badass bounty hunter that was skip tracing and going on adventures and bringing in bad guys. And instead we're getting wannabe crime lord Captain Whiny Pants.
And yes, we're getting his whole backstory.
Mm-hmm.
But it's almost like, all right, they've dragged it out a little too long, the backstory. Yeah. He's having a little bit too much difficulty maintaining his power. He's not getting the ultimate respect that fans have built that he should deserve when he says, my name is Boba Fett. People aren't shitting their pants. They're being like, okay, and?
And I wonder if some of that is intentional, because it's often been talked about that people have romanticized Boba Fett so much for somebody who collectively had like 10 minutes of on-screen time and maybe three lines.
But then why would they? Why wouldn't they give us the character that we've romanticized? Why are they saying, "Nah, we're gonna take everybody down a few pegs"? Like, is that the way to get people to watch your show?
No, but it may be the way for the. It may be the way that the writers want to, like you said, knock people down a few pegs. Like, oh, you always romanticize this guy. Well, look at this. It's like I had a very brief discussion today with Andy. And we were talking about, you know, somebody pointed out the fact that the dawning moment for Luke in Return of the Jedi was shot for shot the exact same as the dawning moment when he lost Kylo, you know, when he realized that Ben was lost to him. Same facial expression and everything. So we were talking about that. And, you know, he's like, I'm in the minority, but I like The Last Jedi. And I was like, I'm in that same minority. I like The Last Jedi. And unlike most people, I felt that Luke's journey – where he became a hermit and a curmudgeon and basically locked himself away from everybody made a lot of sense for his character. And most people are like, no, we wanted him to be Luke Skywalker and go out there and fight everybody and be the king of the Jedi. And that doesn't make sense for him, you know, the same way that people wanted Boba Fett to be this big badass. And he's just not.
Yeah, he really is not. And this just reminds me of WWE booking so much. And what I mean by that is WWE likes to take someone that is huge in another company or on the indies or in Japan or whatever that has a huge following. And like when he shows up on WWE TV the first time, the people are losing their friggin' minds and cheering and cheering and cheering. And they're so happy that their hero's finally in the WWE, and WWE fucking beats him over and over and over again and makes you go, oh, the big guy you like so much is nothing but a piece of shit. And we're going to tear him all the way down so we can build him back up a year from now. And then now you all like him, and it's because we made it that way, not because he came in with that. Mm-hmm. Everyone that's gone to WWE and had a following when they get there has basically said, oops, I'm fucked because I'm too popular and Vince McMahon didn't create me or build me. So now I'm going to have to suffer for a while. Taz made his debut at Madison Square Garden against the undefeated Kurt Angle. And when his music kicked on, and no one had heard his music before, but they figured out who it was, when Taz walked out, he got a monstrous pop at Madison Square Garden, the arena he grew up going to wrestling to, that he always dreamed of wrestling in. And the first thought he thought wasn't, oh my God, this is amazing, was, I'm fucked. And he was not wrong. He was not wrong at all.
I think that much like they did in The Last Jedi, you know, that's what they're doing with Boba Fett, is they're saying, you know, yes, you all thought he was great. You all thought he was wonderful. He's just a fucking dude. You know, he's just a guy. And they're not saying that he's a weakling. They're not saying that he's awful, but they're saying he's not a god. He's not a demagogue. He's not somebody to be worshipped. He's a dude. And I'm of mixed mind about it. You know, I grew up thinking that the Boba Fett toy was really cool, thinking he was such a badass because he barely ever talked, you know, yada, yada, yada. But at the same time, as an adult, I can recognize hero worship, especially when it comes to something like, say, the trailer that you sent me today for the Liam Neeson's movie. Mm-hmm. Liam Neeson's needs to stop making movies. You know, Liam Neeson's was a badass for a long time there, and Liam Neeson's got quite a following that way. I no longer look at a Liam Neeson's movie and say, oh, yay, another badass movie. I'm like, why is he still making movies? Because it's done. He's just a dude. It needs to stop.
Well, let's be honest. Let's be honest. He made a lot of good movies, and he was a great actor in a lot of good movies, but he was not an action star.
Nope.
He was a dramatic actor. I mean, the first action thing you can think of that he played in was Episode One, The Phantom Menace, crying out loud. And then, you know, he had a pretty awesome role in Batman Begins. But it was Taken in 2008 that made him an action star. And everything he's done since then has been action star type movies. But the man's 69 years old now. So when he made Taken, he was that was 14 years ago. So, yeah, he was 54. So, OK, kind of believable there still. But yeah, like now
but it's time for him to be taking a break.
Or just change what roles he's in. Change what type of movies he's doing.
Yes. That's my point. And I feel like everything's gotten kind of circular. But yeah, like he's been built up. Boba Fett's been built up. But the thing is, nobody ever said Boba Fett is the greatest. Boba Fett is the most feared bounty hunter in the galaxy. Boba Fett is somebody to be worshipped and in awe of. If you think about his character arc, he basically was there as background dressing with a bunch of other bounty hunters in Empire. He happened to be clever enough to figure out that they were going to try to hide and then run away, so he followed them. He did not capture them. He told Vader where they were and let Vader capture them. He took the frozen body of Han to Jabba's place to cash in, and then he got knocked into the Sarlacc shortly thereafter. Like, we never were treated to anything about this guy being a badass. And don't even get me started on the Christmas episode.
No, I won't. So, but I don't know. It's just, yeah, I don't. Well, but it's, I think that's what it is. It's still a good show, but people wanted the badass Boba Fett that they had brought up in their mind, in their memory, mm-hmm. or that they had their rose-colored glasses with, and they were so excited to see him back, and he's getting his own show, and holy cow, he's going to be a badass.
And he's just like really, the Mando. Just like Mandalorian. Yeah.
And he's really not. And I think it has to do with, like you've been saying, you know, he, the Mandalorian came in, and that's who everyone wanted Boba Fett to be.
Mm-hmm. They did.
So, and he's not.
He's not. And it doesn't mean that he can't be an effective character. It's just, I don't think that people are going to give him much of a fair shake because they want him to be somebody that he's not.
Yep.
Hmm. Moving on.
Moving on.
We got, what did you think two of episodes of Peacemaker?
Resident Alien.
Resident Alien was very good.
I love the show. It.
I still enjoy him very much. I like that we picked up right where the last one left off. And I loved the Lenny Briscoe part. That was,
yes, I thought that was hilarious.
Looking great. I love that Nathan Fillion got to come back, reprising his role as a squid, and that he actually talked to Asta. That was great.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, it was a very standard episode for them.
Yeah. I mean, so we find out what happened, basically, which is in the season finale of last year, Harry's flying home to his home planet, and mm-hmm. Max is stowed away on the ship. We find out that the ship crashes because Max maybe caused it to crash because he's like, you got to take me back. And we see that. And because the whole episode, the narrative of Harry is talking about memories and how humans store memories so they can look back on things in fondness, but also they store memories of bad things so they can relive the horribleness over and over and over again. And, you know, good thing I'm not that way. Good thing we don't store memories like that. But obviously he does.
Mm-hmm.
So the ship crashes, and we find out that during the crash that Harry protected Max from getting hurt.
Yes.
And Max is just like, yes, because you love me. I don't love you. Like, I just love the interaction of the two of them. And then, but Harry does love Max. Harry loves Asta, because that's the big thing in this episode is when Nathan Fillion's the octopus there tells him basically like, well, you know, they're going to send someone else to finish the job. He's like, but that means Asta will be killed. He goes, and yeah, that's what happens when everyone's killed. They all die, you know, like, and so now Harry is kind of got to stop whoever the new aliens are going to be, and he likes Asta. And then in the other backstory is like the town doctor that came in and replaced Harry, and all of a sudden is just MIA. He like split town, so obviously Harry's gonna be the doctor again. The mayor and his wife who beat the crap out of the federal agents. That was awesome. They're apparently going through some very kinky role play stuff to relive some of that traumatic eroticism. I mean, there's all kinds of little backstories.
Yeah, you're really right. Getting off on it.
Yeah, yeah. But you're right.
Let's be honest. Yeah.
Oh, tremendously. But it was a pretty standard episode, but I enjoyed it.
Absolutely. It wasn't that it was unenjoyable. It just, you know, it was a very standard episode. It didn't feel like a season premiere, but it also didn't feel like just a filler episode. You know, it was almost like the first season and the second season didn't miss a beat, which is actually kind of good, I think, in the long run.
Yes. Yeah, because, I mean, I just enjoy the show. So we're going to get several episodes through March and then a hiatus, and then the second half of the season will come back, apparently, mid-2022.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to the rest of the season.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, it's more episodes this season, I believe. They had 10 first season. This season's got, I don't know how many, but
probably 10, if I had to guess.
Well, if they're doing through March 16th, that's going to be 7 episodes on the front half. And usually they split them in half, so I'd imagine 7 episodes on the second half. So I guess we'll find out. Peacemaker.
Hold on. I just wanted to say real quick that we've been watching Doctor Who, as you know.
Oh, great show.
Yes. Tonight with dinner, we watched we're still in season 2 right now. So we watched Love and Monsters.
Yep.
Which in the past I always felt was a very weak episode. But honestly, watching it again, it was actually decent. It was actually a good episode.
I always liked it. I mean, I didn't dislike it. What was it that you?
I always thought that it was a little bit like cheesy, and we didn't have any real adventuring with the Doctor, so it felt like, oh, come on. But honestly, it was brilliant. Like it focused on those who were left behind. You know, those who are touched by the Doctor and. Yeah. Don't actually go with him or who get left behind on Earth. And he even says that, you know, he's like, I feel bad for Rose and Jackie, you know, if something's going to happen to them. You know, I know that for me, I was touched by him and I've had the most amazing things, and the most horrible things. And yeah. So yeah, it was a decent episode.
Yeah. I always did kind of like it.
We've got the next episode is Fear Her. And then it's the 2-part season finale of, what is it? The Army of Ghosts. And Doomsday.
Yep.
Yeah.
Ooh, good stuff. Good stuff.
Yeah. I already told Julia that I said it's a season finale. I said, and sometimes the season finales are like, oh, that's cool. And then sometimes the season finales are heavy. I said, this is a heavy one.
Oh, yeah. No, this is a tremendously heavy episode.
Not quite as bad as season 3.
Yeah, no.
Yeah. 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 Anywho, go ahead. You were going to say Peacemaker.
Peacemaker. Did you? I watched episodes 4 and 5 to get
caught up. As did I. Yep.
It's a wacky show, isn't it?
It is. I didn't expect to like it this much.
I didn't expect to like it this much either. Episode 4 was the Chode Less Travel. They got the judo master back at the headquarters, and you know, he's going to escape and beat up economics and then have
a Dyebeard.
Dyebeard, yeah. And have a big fight in the out in the driveway there with Peacemaker until you know,
he just gets blown away.
Yes.
Because he starts talking about the butterflies. He's like, the butterflies, they're actually.
And, yeah. And he gets shot. by what's her name? Adebayo?
Waller's daughter.
Waller's daughter, yeah. Whatever. It's Abadeo. I don't know how to pronounce it right now. Adebo, whatever. And it's the first person he's ever shot, so he's kind of freaking out about it. We find out like, Abadeo basically tries to trick Chase into getting arrested to kill Peacemaker's dad. Mm-hmm. He tells the Peacemaker's dad there, the White Dragon. I like the conversation they have. He's like, come on, man. Your dad's a racist. Like, he called himself the White Dragon. Like, you know, and we see how he made Peacemaker kill somebody when he was a kid. Trained him to be a killer. We find out that his brother, you know, died, and there's speculation Peacemaker had something to do with his brother's death.
His dad loved his brother way more than him.
Yep. You know, he told everybody that he killed the butterfly once they figured out what the butterfly was, but he actually kept it in a jar.
Mm-hmm.
So Chase gets out of jail, gets basically, once they find out what happened, like Harcourt and company get Chase out of jail, and Mern, they get him out of jail, and he's like, yeah, I didn't kill him. You know, White Dragon there tells the police that those aren't his fingerprints, just check them. So the detectives check them. They find out that it's definitely not his fingerprints. But then there's a big cover up from up top.
Yeah, above even them. And I mean, I say even them. They're just, you know.
Right.
Rank and file, but yeah, above them.
And basically like, yeah, just ignore it. It's fine. You know, they got the prints changed on file. So they know that Peacemaker really is the one that caused all this, but they also don't know why that Augie's being held in prison for it. Mm-hmm. That's all from this episode 5, Monkey Dory. Sorry, I jumped ahead, but it doesn't matter. We get they go to the Peacemaker and the gang. They go to a bottling factory where this liquid is being made to that feeds the butterflies. We find out in episode 4 that Mern is actually a butterfly himself.
Mm-hmm.
When we're in the factory, Peacemaker is using an X-ray vision helmet that his dad made him, where he can see the butterflies in the people's brains, and he just starts shooting everybody. And basically,
I like how he didn't tell anybody that he just open fire.
Yeah. X-ray. How did you know that was a monkey? That was a butterfly. X-ray vision. I can see it. Oh. So they just, there's this big fight scene. They kill everybody. There's a gorilla that was kidnapped from a zoo we see on a news report earlier. And the gorilla's got a butterfly in them. So they're fighting the gorilla. Beer died, ends up cutting the gorilla in half with a chainsaw, which Vigilante's upset about because he wanted to kill somebody with a chainsaw.
Yeah, he like pitched a whole fit before they went in because she wouldn't let him take in the chainsaw. And he's like, when am I ever going to get a chance to kill somebody with a chainsaw?
Exactly. You know, they have a great bonding moment, which I think is hilarious. Harcourt even starts like a text group with all of them.
Mm-hmm.
And hold on a second.
Holding on.
Wesley came down to get a drink.
Oh.
He's just giving me a hug. And he has to drink of water. And she's still like, Waller's daughter goes to Peacemaker's house and they have a drink, and she still plants the diary, which mm-hmm. I'm mad about. But then she goes back to the office and she's got Peacemaker's helmet on. She's checking out the X-ray vision. She's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. And she turns and sees Mern. And she can see the butterfly, but she doesn't say, you got a butterfly or whatever. He just attacks her.
Yep. It's so, like he knows.
Well, and that was the thing. How did he know? She didn't say anything. He doesn't know the helmet has X-ray vision, does he? Or does he already know? I don't know. But he just attacks her pretty much straight out. And that's how the episode ends. Mm-hmm. Cliffhanger.
Yep.
I enjoy the hell out of this show.
I do, too. And I wish I didn't. Like, part of me wishes I didn't, because I remember that the trailers, watching it, I was like, this is going to be garbage.
Yeah.
And I was sad, because I wanted to like it. Now that I do like it, I'm like, fuck.
Yep.
Yeah, but no, I look forward to it each week when the new episodes come out. As soon as I see the headlines, they're like, on this week's episode, I'm like, fuck yeah! it excites me.
It excites me too.
Yeah. Ooh, pardon me. Sorry about that.
Okay.
So yeah, you're all caught up on that now.
Yep, all caught up on shows, movies. I told you I watched none. I'm sticking to my guns on that.
Okay. If it turns out that you watched at least one, then we're going to have a problem, friend.
I did not Friendo. Watch any. I did not watch any. All right, okay. What did you watch?
I watched three Marvel movies, because as I had said before, we're trying to get through all of them before it's time for... So we watched, chronological order, Thor the Dark World, it's rough. But honestly, like with Love and Monsters, it wasn't as bad this time that I watched it. There was some good humor in it. And honestly, I enjoyed it more this time. It's still not my favorite, but I enjoyed it more. So that was a good thing.
Can't imagine that's anybody's favorite.
No, it's pretty much hated by everyone. We watched that one, and then we watched Winter Soldier.
Nice.
Huge upswing right there.
Such a good film.
Uh-huh. And now, since we're doing chronological, we watched Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 1.
Another good film.
Next is Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, then Ultron, then I believe Ant-Man. So we got some good stuff coming. Guardians is just great. You know, the soundtrack is great. I had forgotten that, you know, Vin Diesel is credited right there in the beginning as Groot. It's fucking hilarious. They have James Gunn did some updates recently. They're having the Guardians of the Galaxy Christmas special that'll be coming out this year, I believe. And then he's working on Guardians Volume 3. He did say that this movie will be the last time you will see this team as the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, so, Batista's pretty much made that aware that he's leaving the series.
Yes. And I think people don't want Chris Pratt around anymore either. So fine by me. So one thing that I had forgotten, again, it's nice to rewatch these and be like, oh, I forgot about that stuff, was in Winter Soldier. How when they're talking about Project Insight, when they have Sitwell up on the roof and they now this was interesting. So you had that one little tiny with Gary Shandling and Sitwell when he leans over and he goes, "Hail Hydra." And I remember, as I'm sure you do, that the world for the next month, 2 months was nothing but memes of Hail Hydra, you know. Yes. Even Troy and Abed hailing Hydra. Everywhere.
Yes.
Out of just that one little tiny moment in the movie, I remembered it as being much more prolific. And maybe that's because I was also watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. at the time, and it had such a profound impact on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., you know, with Ward and everything. But I recalled the whole reveal of Hydra being like a huge bombshell, and it was kind of muted, honestly. Like, it didn't feel as pronounced in this watching of the movie. Anyway, when they've got Sitwell up on the roof and they're interrogating him and they drop him off, and then Falcon brings him back up, he like starts spilling the guts, and he says that, you know, Project Insight is there to help them protect the world, you know, so in case somebody steps out of, or is thinking about stepping out of line, like Bruce Banner or Stephen Strange. And this was before Doctor Strange was even a blip on the radar. Like, we hadn't even heard that they were making a Doctor Strange movie. And I remember people were like, he just name dropped Stephen Strange. What the hell? Are they going to make a movie? So it was interesting that back then, now that we know everything that we know, that back then in Winter Soldier, they were name dropping Stephen Strange like that, even though there was nothing on the books.
Yeah, but we've known for a long time that Kevin Feige has this planned out. And nothing is done in error or without reason.
Fair enough. Fair enough. But yeah, all three movies still solid, still hold up. I'm really excited to keep cranking them out. You know, I'm not like, oh, we've got to crank these out because we've got to crank them out. I'm just really excited to be watching them. And it's fun watching them with somebody who's never seen them before, because, you know, she'll ask questions and I'll be like, just keep watching. Or, you know, she'll pick things up and she'll be like, they were sitting in Winter Soldier, they're sitting in the back of the van, and you know, the three of them had been arrested, and there's the two shield guards in there watching over them. And she just looks up at the screen. She goes, "Hi, Aunt Robin." And then, of course, Kobe Smulders, you know, like, beats the crap out of the guy and takes her helmet off. She's like, "I called it." I'm like, "Yeah, you did. Good job."
That's awesome.
Yep. So, yeah, having a lot of fun with it. But we do, like, this was 3 in 1 weekend, and I think we could have done more. We're going to keep cranking them out so that, you know, by the time No Way Home gets here, hopefully we'll be caught up. We're not going to be able to get through the TV series, obviously. It's just going to be the movies. So that'll be interesting. But I do want to go back and watch the
series. I don't think you really need to be through all the TV series.
Well, that was going to be my next question.
By the time No Way Home comes out.
Like, I'm trying to think, and you've seen the movie, so I don't know if, like, the events of, say, WandaVision or Loki would tie directly in. Falcon and the Winter Soldier, maybe. But, yeah.
There's a meme that involves Hawkeye.
Oh, cool.
But that's kind of about it.
Okay. Well, that's good to know.
Like, you watched Hawkeye, obviously.
Sure enough did.
So the musical Rogers, there is that's referenced in the movie, just like you can see the billboards.
Mm-hmm. That's cool.
And there's a meme that I haven't shared with you yet. And it's Florence Pugh's character. I can't think of her name. You know, Black Widow's sister.
Yes.
That says, "I want to see the new and improved Statue of Liberty."
Mm. Yes.
And then all of us, after seeing No Way Home, "I understood that reference."
Gotcha.
And that's all I'll say about that. But otherwise, there's no connection that I can think of off the top of my head that stood out that much with any of the Marvel series and No Way Home.
Okay. Good to know. I was assuming that because it's kind of like when Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was on TV and they had hardly any real crossovers. So you didn't have to be watching this to see that or vice versa. You know, you had like the things I told her, like the end of Thor: The Dark World, when the ship comes crashing into the ground in that London museum area. And, you know, in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., they were cleaning up the debris from it. Or how they took scene from Winter Soldier where Fury's getting blown to pieces in the car, and they put that right into Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. But otherwise, you know, so good. I'm glad to know that.
Yep, that's pretty much it that I can think of. Nothing that really stood out otherwise.
Good. Otherwise, we just got, like, news and trailers.
Yep, news and trailers. What you got?
We didn't have a lot this week. Not a lot of news. I've been super busy doing stuff, so I didn't really have a lot of opportunities to like browse through my news sections as usual. I sent you the one article. Oh, yeah, I sent that while we were recording. So The Lost Symbol was canceled. I know you really dug that show, but you said that it kind of ended in a good spot for it to be canceled.
It basically ended like it was done. Like,
okay.
I don't know. Like, because here's the thing, they found it. So, I mean, what do you do now?
Well, that was the thing with his books. Each one of them, he was looking for one thing, and then by the end, he'd find it. The end. But then the next book, there'd be a new MacGuffin.
Sure. Which that makes sense. So, I mean, if we're not getting a whole new story over again, it's not the end of the world. It's not like it ended on a cliffhanger.
So, I pulled a U this week.
Oh, yeah?
You sent me the trailer for season 2 of Picard.
Yes.
Didn't watch it. Because I already know that I'm going to watch the hell out of this season, and I don't need to see anything. So, I pulled a mic.
Let me tell you, sir. It was awesome.
I bet it was. I bet it was phenomenal.
You sent me the trailer for the after party, which we've already talked about.
Yep.
And then I sent you the trailer for, let's see here. A bunch of stuff came on Netflix. Netflix is going up. My plan is $13.99. It's going up to $15.49.
Yep. Mine is, I think it was $18.99. It's going up to like $20 or something.
Okay. So you have the
HD 4K. With like four different people that can watch like at the same time.
You have the 4K plan then.
Yep.
I sure do. I don't have a 4K TV, so I don't have the 4K plan. I sent you the trailer from In From the Cold, which also came out. And that is an exposed ex-Russian spy, as now an American single mom and getting sucked back in. Did you watch that trailer? Oh, yeah, you did. That looks good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got another new show that's TVMA that came out. Blacklight, the trailer we talked about, the Liam Neeson's movie.
Yep.
So here's something that's funny. We talked about the fact that Liam Neeson's is older, 69. So this movie that's coming out first, this soon here, is called Blacklight. It is, I don't even know what it's about. Oh, was it a hitman? What the fuck's the premise on this? I feel like it's been done 100 times.
He works for the FBI and he does all these things, but he doesn't murder. That's not on his list. And then
that's right. He's trying to get out and they won't let him.
Yeah. His boss, yeah. Aidan Quinn, will not let him.
Yeah. Travis Block is a government operative come to terms with a shadowy past. And when he discovers a plot targeting a U.S. citizen, he finds himself in the crosshairs of the FBI director he once helped protect.
Mm-hmm.
The next movie after this is called Memory, about an aging hitman with early onset Alzheimer's who is brought in to do another hit. It's based on a Belgian flick that came out a few years back, so.
Nice.
Yeah. And then the other trailer I sent you was the new Texas Chainsaw Massacre trailer for the movie coming out in February.
What'd you think about that?
I'm here for it. I mean, it looked like lots of good killing. It's a direct sequel to the original film.
So they're pulling a Halloween.
Yep. That's exactly what they're doing. They're pulling a Halloween. It's a direct sequel. It even brings back the original. Melody and her sister Lila and their friends Dante and Ruth go to Harlow, Texas, where they meet the revenge-seeking Sally Hardesty, the sole survivor of Leatherface's infamous 1973 massacre.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yep, 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 yep. Again, the actress that played her in 1973 is back.
And is how old now?
Hold on.
She still looks like an action star.
Maybe it's not her. I thought it was. Hold on.
Okay, holding on.
Sally Hardesty, the only survivor of Leatherface. She was portrayed by Marilyn Burns in the original flick. So disregard.
Okay.
Disregard. New actress.
Gotcha.
New actress. But same character, at least.
Okay.
But yeah, so this is a direct sequel to
the original.
Yep.
I think that was all the trailers that we shared.
This is interesting. I was just looking at this real quick. It says John Larroquette reprises his role as the film's narrator, having provided the voiceover for the original film and the 2003 remake. I never realized that he made his film debut providing the opening narration of the horror film The Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Hmm.
I had no idea that John Larroquette did that.
No, neither did I.
That is very interesting to me.
That is. Huh. And I learned something today.
Yeah. Yes, I did. Anyhow.
So, is that the show?
I have one bit of news.
Okay.
Finally, after 3 fucking years, we are getting season 3 of The Orville.
About damn time. When's it coming out?
March 10th, 2022 on Hulu.
For real?
Yeah.
Like, this isn't one of those, like, March 10th and then it's going to get delayed.
Oh, it'll probably get fucking delayed again, but yes.
Huh.
Yeah. I love the first 2 seasons.
Oh,
it was
too.
Like the Star Trek shows we had wanted for years before Discovery rolled around. And we're finally getting the 3rd season, which obviously will be the final season. Because fuck. But, yeah.
I hope it's not, but at the same time, you're right. It probably will be.
I mean, it took so long for this season to come out. I really can't imagine that we're going to get another season. I guess right. You never know. I have a hard time believing we're actually going to get another season after this.
Yeah. No, it's very unlikely.
Yeah. I mean, I get it. It got halted due to COVID, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But come on. Come on. We got less episodes than the first 2 seasons.
Mm-hmm.
First season, we got 12. Second season, we got 14. The season's only got 11. However, the episodes are about 15 minutes longer each than the previous season. So
because they're built directly for Hulu instead of for a...
Yeah. So that kind of makes up for it. But.
Yeah.
But that's kind of my only news. And if you don't have any news, then I guess that is the show.
Really don't. No.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, you can find me on the Twitter. I'm Superstar ML.
I'm the Quantum Geek, G33K.
That's our show.
That is the show. Have a good one.
Yeah. And if you can't have a good one, have a long one.
Whatever.